So Dillian Whyte was a no-show at the Tyson Fury kickoff press conference. Frank Warren was angry. Tyson Fury didn't seem particularly bothered. Here's my take. As I mentioned in previous videos, to me it just seems like Dillian Whyte, who is interim champion with the WBC, let's not forget that, believes that he's not being treated like an interim champion. And therefore, if they're going to be funny with him, he's going to be funny with them. Now, some people are saying that it's Eddie Hearn or one of Dillian Whyte's advisors who's told him to not participate in promoting the fight. Well, I'm sure Dillian Whyte has consulted with his lawyers and his advisors and so on, but I don't think this is the kind of idea or the kind of move that is beyond Dillian Whyte's scope to just do off his own initiative. It seems like a Dillian Whyte type move, to be honest with you, because he's a guy who has tried to strong arm his way into the industry. He didn't have the amateur background. He didn't have the big push when he turned pro. Everything Dillian Whyte has done and everything he's achieved is by the sweat of his own brow. So this is a guy who has got results using strong arm tactics. And with the WBC, all these years that he's been number one contender and then finally mandatory challenger, we've seen that same thing continue with him. The strong arm tactics, putting pressure on all the time, like a bull in a china shop. There's no subtlety there. And I think that kind of approach is only going to get you results up to a certain level. Once you reach the levels he's at now, we are talking about world title challenges and so on, and you're dealing with sanctioning bodies and other promoters and networks, etc. At that stage, you're coming across people who have a certain amount of power over you in certain situations. And if you are doing stuff which makes them feel disrespected, they're going to make life very difficult for you. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing the results of that. And that's not to say that Dillian Whyte was in the wrong for trying to get what he's worth and get what he believes he's owed and should get. I'm not saying Dillian Whyte's wrong. I'm just saying the reality is people at this level are not going to take kindly to you coming in, as I say, acting like a bull in a china shop. They're not going to take kindly to that, right or wrong. They are successful people. And so you have to take this in mind when it comes to, you have to keep this in mind rather when it comes to dealing with them. You see it? So anyway, Dillian Whyte didn't turn up to the press conference. He said that he'd need a private jet. I guess it's so there's no positive tests or anything like that. He doesn't want anything to scupper the fight. And then Frank Warren says he provided Dillian Whyte with a private jet or said he could do it. And Dillian Whyte said, no, I'm still not coming over for a million different reasons. So maybe that was just a ruse by Dillian Whyte. Maybe he never intended to fly over, even if they got him a private jet. He was just going to get Frank Warren to run around. Now, Frank Warren said that it makes no sense that Dillian Whyte would be behaving this way towards him. And obviously this is going to, Frank Warren says it's not going to affect the ticket sales, but how can it not? Of course it's going to affect the ticket sales. Of course it's going to affect the pay-per-view buys if this guy doesn't turn up. And Frank Warren says it doesn't make any sense because we're not the ones who, you know, made him get 20%. That was the WBC. That's a situation between him and them. We didn't decide the purse split. Well, on the surface of it, that seems like a very fair and reasonable point. But I suspect that Dillian Whyte thinks that Team Fury did have something to do with the 20% purse split. I suspect that Dillian Whyte believes that there was some collusion, thinks they're all in it together, and so they can all pay together. And Tyson Fury summed it up at the press conference when he said, look, Dillian Whyte's getting the same money whether he turns up to the press events or not. Hence, he's not turning up to the press events because he doesn't feel like he's not going to get any upside, right? If the pay-per-view does great buys, Dillian Whyte's not going to get any extra money. So why would he help to push the pay-per-view? You see it? And the question is, what would you guys do in Dillian Whyte's situation? Bear in mind that as the interim champion, he's supposed to get up to 40% or 45%, and he's only getting 20. So I guess behind the scenes, he was negotiating with Team Fury, you know, Frank Warren, Bob Arum, whoever, negotiating with them to see if he could get something akin to a 45% or at least a 35, you know, 40%. But no, that unfortunately for him was not able to be worked out. So, you know, he's saying, look, you guys ain't going to help me out. I ain't going to help you out. And that is what it is. But make no mistake about the fight. Dillian Whyte has to knock Tyson Fury out here to get a win. He might have to knock Tyson Fury out to get a draw. And one thing I'd contemplated for a while is if Dillian Whyte were to beat Tyson Fury, hypothetical scenario, if he were to beat him, what would he do with a WBC belt? Given the fact that he's got this really bad relationship with the WBC now, what happens if he wins? Does he keep the belt? Does he all of a sudden shake Mauricio Sullivan's hand and they put it all behind them and let bygones be bygones? We often see stuff like that happen in boxing. But in this case, is there too much bad blood on both sides for that to happen in the immediate future, even if Dillian Whyte wins? Let me know what you guys think about that in the comments below. Let me know what you think about Dillian Whyte's tactics here, not turning up. And when I say tactics, some people think that this is mind games by Dillian Whyte. I mean, you could say that it's a combination of lots of different things, but I suspect the main driving force behind Dillian Whyte's actions here is just the fact that he feels like he's been jobbed. He feels like he isn't getting the respect that he deserves as interim champion. He should be getting whatever it is, 45%. He's only getting 20. And so that's the main reason that he's not turning up to press conferences, not participating, not even saying anything on social media. Because think about it this way. They've hit Dillian Whyte in the pocket. He feels he was supposed to get 40, 45%. He's only getting 20. So he's thinking, okay, I'll hit you in the pocket. How about that? Two can play at that game. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. I saw John Fury confronting Carl Frampton at the Fury Whyte press conference about the fact that Carl Frampton picked Jake Paul to beat Tommy Fury when that fight was scheduled to go ahead. And John Fury was disrespectful to Carl Frampton. He was poking his finger in his chest. Well, not literally in his chest, but towards him. And he was telling him that he needs to get off the job and he used to respect him and he turned his back on Carl Frampton. He was just being disrespectful towards Frampton. And Frampton said, look, that's just my opinion. What, you don't want me to give my opinion? You don't want me to be honest? Etc., etc. Now, of course, this is bad form from John Fury. Very bad form, because it's just Carl Frampton's opinion. It isn't a measure of whether he likes Tommy Fury or dislikes Tommy Fury. It's just his opinion on who he thinks is going to win. And this attitude from certain fighters is actually common. I say certain fighters. There's a lot of fighters that are like this, where if you pick against them in a fight, they take it personally. And even their fans often take it personally. And it could be a fight between two fighters who you don't really feel one way or the other about. You don't like or dislike either of them. You know them, but you're not particularly bothered who wins. You end up picking one of them, and then all of their fans are, you know, jumping on you saying, oh, you're a hater, this, that, you wait and see when he wins. And then you're like, hang on, I ain't got a horse in this race. I don't care who wins. I just think this guy's going to win based upon what I've seen of him. It's not a personal thing, but they don't see it that way. They think it is personal. And the fighter themselves often thinks it's personal. And John Fury is an extension of that when it comes to the Fury team. He takes it personal when people pick against one of his boys. I saw an interview with Tommy Fury where he was saying something similar. He was saying that Carl Frampton doesn't know anything about boxing, which is an extraordinary thing to say. And he said that Carl Frampton should know better than picking, and John Fury said similar, Carl Frampton should know better than to be picking a YouTuber over a boxer. And that it's bad form to be picking against your countrymen. What's being a countryman got anything to do with it? It's who he thinks is going to win, objectively speaking. My best friend could jump in there against Alexander Usyk. I'd be supporting my best friend. I'd want him to win. But would I pick him before the fight? Hell no. Why do I want to lose my money? I ain't going to pick him. He's not going to win. It's not a measure of whether I like my friend or not. It's just a measure of, you know, what I genuinely think is going to happen in the fight, objectively speaking. But Tommy Fury was talking about, you should never pick against your countrymen. And this is the thing, right? This shows the hypocrisy of the Furies and many other people who exhibit the same behavior. The Furies have picked against Anthony Joshua countless times. So where was all the patriotism then? Where was all the, oh, it's bad form to pick against your countrymen? Where was all that then when they picked against Anthony Joshua countless times? There are some sensible heads in the Fury clan. One of them being Peter Fury. He's always been sensible. He was always kind of a calming influence, a grounding influence in Team Fury. But since he's, you know, split up with Tyson or whatever, John has taken a more prominent role in Team Fury. Shane is more grounded than John, right? But he's still very pro-Fury, and sometimes he says stuff, as you would expect, as he should be, being family, but sometimes he says stuff which is biased to the point that it's not realistic. Let's just put it that way. So you got him, but there are still some calmer heads. There are still some sensible heads in Team Fury. One of them being Andy Lee, Tyson Fury's cousin. He's a sensible guy. And also the most sensible, I think, from what I've seen, is Javon Sugar Hill, otherwise known as Sugar Hill Steward these days. He's a sensible guy. So when all the others are saying Tyson Fury's going to knock this guy out in one round and it's a mismatch and it's this guy's rubbish and he's got no chance. Javon Choke Hill's like, actually, this guy's dangerous. You know, kind of the same thing that Peter Fury used to do. This guy's actually dangerous. Javon Choke Hill's a very calm, laid back kind of character. But that is what Tyson Fury needs, I think, to balance against the hotheads in his camp, like his dad, etc. Because they're hotheads, right? And Tyson Fury himself is somewhat of a hothead. So that's my take on John Fury confronting Carl Frampton. It's a common thing in boxing for fighters and their families to feel this way. If you pick against their son, oh my gosh, you know, this, that. And I'll finish with this. The irony is Tyson Fury himself was asked about this fight between his brother Tommy and Jake Paul before it got made. And I remember very clearly, I did a video where I talked about it. Tyson Fury said, this is a 50-50 fight, to be honest, because they've both got a similar level of experience. You know, neither of them have had a lot of fights. It's a 50-50. That's what Tyson Fury said out of his own mouth. And now his dad is saying that anyone who thinks Jake Paul had a chance against his son is a Fury hater. Come on, come on. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. I just watched this IFL interview with Callis Sauerland where he was talking about this deal between Wasserman, which is the promotional company he works for, and Channel 5. Now, it was unclear in the interview which of his fighters would be fighting on Channel 5 other than Josh Kelly, because he mentioned the fact that Eubank Jr. has got some type of deal with Sky and Hergovich is on DAZN. He's got some kind of deal there. And Sauerland did say that he'd still be working with Sky to put on Eubank shows and with DAZN to put on Hergovich fights, etc. So who's going to be fighting on Channel 5 then? I guess the likes of Harlem Eubank, again, Josh Kelly, Nathan Gorman, these kind of people. Not exactly a star-studded lineup as yet, but Wasserman apparently are a very powerful, you know, big outfit, deep pockets, etc. So perhaps we're going to get some better names on there. Perhaps we're going to see some big fights. Whatever the case may be, it's still a good thing. Even if it's just, you know, undercard type fighters, up and coming prospects, it's still a good thing to have boxing on terrestrial television. You guys know I've long been a fan of terrestrial TV for boxing because nothing draws more eyes than terrestrial telly, right? Free to air. Now, it isn't as big a deal as it would have been back in the days because pretty much everybody now has access to, you know, cable, whatever you want to call it, Freeview, etc. So people can watch lots of different channels. Back in the days, there was a certain number of people that had cable and Sky, but it wasn't ubiquitous like it is now. I mean, is there any household in the UK left that only has 5 television channels? I don't think there is anymore, is there? But back in the days, there was a lot of households that only had the 4 or 5 channels. You see it? Therefore, if you put boxing on, you're more likely that people are going to watch it if you're putting it on a terrestrial television station back in the days. Whereas now that everybody's got loads of different channels, it's not as big a deal as it used to be, but it's still good to have free boxing. They can promote it across Channel 5's different programs, etc., their news and so on, and it can get eyes on the sport, and you can help to build fighters, build them into a brand, and then, I know it's cynical, slap them on pay-per-view after that, or slap them on one of the premium stations like Sky, DAZN, etc., after that. So what do you guys think about it in the comments below? Was there something I missed in that Callis Sauerland interview regards to which fighters are going to be featuring on that platform? Will Eubank Jr.? Eubank Jr., of course, used to fight on Channel 5 under Hennessy. And what's happened to poor old Mick Hennessy? He was putting his shows on Sky, Channel 5. Isaac Chamberlain, I think, fought recently on a Mick Hennessy show. Are Channel 5 going to continue to show Mick Hennessy shows? Or has he been, you know, barged out of the way at this point? And it's all about the Sauerlands and Wasserman. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. And I forgot to mention, there will be 5 Wasserman shows on Channel 5 in 2022. So that's not a particularly packed schedule, is it? Just to put it in perspective. So they're not exactly revolutionizing the game. I guess it's just like a way to get some of their prospects out and get them more eyes on them, get them more exposure, should I say. It's a way of doing that because they're obviously competing for airtime with their other fighters on DAZN. Perhaps on Sky, they're going to be competing for airtime for some of their fighters. So this is a way of getting more televised shows where they can showcase their talent, etc.